All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our MLB podcast for Friday, April 13th. I'm Doug Norrie, that is.
James Davis.
And we're back on the MLB pod after a couple of days off. We'll be more consistent as we move into next week and going forward for the rest of the season. We're from dailyfantasysportsrankings.com, DFSR.com for short. And DFSR.com/MLB will get you a free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by our good friends over at Lineup Lab. Optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings MLB, NBA while the playoffs roll around, NFL when the season comes up in the fall, which always pops up earlier than you think it's going to. We've covered all under one subscription package. We don't section it off by sport or provider, by who wrote the article or whatever some of the other sites do. If we offer it, you get it just free for 3 days, and then now for a short time, $29.95 a month after that, and you're all good to go. Early returns on baseball have been very positive, so go and check it out. And once you get in there, we have a members-only chat where you can chime in and ask some questions, and people will give you their honest opinions. The honesty works both ways, but right now I think you're going to get a very honest and glowing report on how our baseball system has been. We're really proud of what we've been doing, so go check it out, dfsr.com/MLB. Big Friday in baseball here. Pitching options, though, very thin. It was one of those ones where we were kind of like looking down the roll of players here and not a lot of guys that you can really consider here. When you see a day like that, I mean, assuming you agree with me, when you see a day like this, what are your general feelings about just MLB DFS? Are you kind of setting yourself up for a high variance night, or do you think maybe I'm just like reading tea leaves too much on some of the names I'm seeing?
Yeah, I don't know if it's necessarily high variance night, because you can just, Cole is just a good play, so you just play him, and probably most people will play him. Incidentally, he was a 90% start in cash games the last time he played, albeit on a much smaller slate. I think Cole's a fine play. I think the variance probably, I guess, will come from the number of bats you can play, because when there are this many not so great pitchers, you can just basically have your pick of it. And for that reason, like, you won't see, well, you might. I don't think you'll see a ton of guys with like 30-40+% ownership out of position players. So yeah, there'll probably be some variance tonight. But actually, I think there's more variance around nights with a number of competitive pitching options for cash games rather than vice versa.
I'll continue to be confused by ownership percentages, especially when it comes to pitchers, just because we've just seen time and time again. Like yesterday, very short slate, Jose Berrios is the clear arm on the slate. Like, there's really the drop off from him to the next guy was like him to like Nick Tropiano or like Ian Kennedy or guys like this. Like, it was the drop off was pretty stark just in any really way you wanted to slice it up. There was no number that any other pitcher could provide that would make him a better play, and yet Berrios was like 80% owned in cash games, which is still very high. But the 20% people that walked into yesterday not playing him in cash, as you walk in and see those percentages, you can make a beginning observation that they've likely played the rake. I mean, things can always just shake out the way they shake out, right?
Like, well, it's usually a good way to indicate how many, like, at least almost all of those players will just be like purely casual players just playing for funsies. And so it's always a welcome sign when at least somebody isn't playing the obvious chalk play, because some casual players will just land on the chalk play also. But yeah, like, start to get worried when you see 99% ownerships out of the Berrioses of the world, you know?
And I don't think we're going to see that. And we have some pricing issues with Cole today. And I have a couple specific questions about Cole. We run into guys like this every year, and we're always kind of trying to evaluate what the truth is compared to what the historical performance is. So with Cole right now, let me rewind. Cole for his career is an 8.5K per nine guy. And he's got a pretty long track record, and we're looking at close to 800 innings of him just sitting somewhere in that 8.5, sometimes pushing up to nine, sometimes much lower K rate. He started off this season, he only pitched 14 innings, but he's right now his K rate is 14 Ks per nine. And it also coincides with a team switch. And I have some other pitch FX stuff that I want to get into, but like, when a guy makes this kind of quick change, right? Now, again, it's only 14 innings. Am I, one, reading too much into a very small sample size? Two, he's gone from the Pirates to a heavy analytics team in the Astros, which is, I take to be a welcome sign when someone starts to make some changes. How much do we want to read into his early K rate stuff? And do we want to make him, like, is he possibly just a K per inning guy going forward with the Astros now, or is it just too early to tell? Like, it kind of matters for our projections, and this is why I kind of want to be ahead of the curve on some of these questions rather than behind it.
Yeah, so I think for starters, you don't want to go too crazy with two starts in general, particularly on something like K-rate, which is very matchup dependent. And so one of those games was against the Padres, which has just been one of the very worst teams at hitting right-handed pitching just year in, year out. And they also strike out a ton too. And, you know, they're among the lead leaders in strikeouts against right-handed pitching. The prior matchup, incidentally, against Texas, the same team he's playing tonight, probably gives a little bit more credence to it just because Texas is still, in spite of that game, in the bottom half of the league in terms of striking out against righties. So, you know, you want to give him a little bit of a bonus for that. But after two starts, you really can't go, like, I think if Cole, like, if we had him projected for 7 Ks per 9 innings, then that would be a little problematic for me. But I certainly, we wouldn't be giving him more than a strikeout per inning, you know, or two more than our initial projections that we have for him.
Right, so a couple things to look at with this pitch FX. Again, very early, right? So I don't want to go too overboard with this stuff. But one thing that I look for when a pitcher has made a change in his approach. If a pitcher has a change in one of his underlying numbers, like K rate, let's say, or it's really just K rate, honestly. I start to look back and say, is there a slightly different approach that he's taking? And he is doing a couple things a little different this year than he has done in the past. One, he's throwing his slider a lot more, like way more than he's ever thrown in his whole career. And he's throwing the fastball a little bit less. And then he's kind of abandoned the changeup that he threw a lot last season. Again, it's two starts. Who knows? Maybe these were very batter dependent. But we have at times seen with players when they have made just kind of fundamental changes to their repertoire, that we have seen K rates follow, right? Like we have seen things kind of change. And the reason I'm actually looking into more closely is because he switched teams. Like, I wonder if the Astros are the team that was like, look, we've looked at this. These are the three pitches you should be. This is sort of the breakdown of the pitch tree that you should be throwing, as opposed to maybe what the Pirates had. Do you think, when looking at those numbers, even though it's very early on, are you more bullish, or am I still just kind of going too crazy off of a couple, just two early games in the season?
I think it matters, and I think you're maybe going a little too crazy based on two early games in the season. So I think probably if he goes in with Houston, and you're right, I mean, there have been pitchers like this where we've seen them really turn on a dime, like Cliff Lee comes to mind. And Gerrit Cole was always a really huge potential guy. I think, actually, interestingly, Kevin Goldstein, who works in the prospecting department for Houston, was always super high on Gerrit Cole and perhaps saw some of this potential, you know, way back in the day. But I think there's reason to be bullish on Cole. I think you're going to play him tonight anyway. I think when it's a little bit closer, you know, splitting hairs like this perhaps matters even more. But I think for tonight, he's just kind of head and shoulders for me, based on both the money line, the matchup, what he's done so far, and just how consistent I picture him to be in my mind versus some of these other guys, that I'll just play him regardless.
Right, exactly. And I guess I was more just talking about moving forward, because tonight the difference of him striking out 8.75 per nine and 9.5 per nine actually doesn't really make a difference for him tonight. He's just still the play. Like, exactly. Really, it doesn't matter. So I'm more just saying it as a idea moving forward, because this is a question that we often will wrestle with over the course of a season. And we go both ways with guys like this. Like, sometimes it's the guy who's made, you know, last year was like Jacob DeRozan, which was like throwing harder than he had ever thrown in his career. I'm trying to think of some other guy. There were a couple other guys who had made strikeout leaps over the course of the season, and we try to look and say, their approach is a little different. And some other guys, you say, they're doing the exact same thing and they're just kind of getting lucky, right?
Exactly. Like, and after next game, we'll have 50% more data, right? So I think we can certainly reevaluate at that point.
Other than him, though, we have to start. If you're playing DraftKings, you do have to go to starting pitcher two, because they force you into just rostering two, or else you don't have a legal lineup. are there guys that you can, like, right now? Okay, so here, I'm going to ask you specifically about a guy. Our system is liking Jacob Feria. He has been awful to start the season. So this is another one where it's like, where do we want to take the early season projection? Because this is a guy last year. Oops, I called up the wrong Fangraphs page. But this is a guy last year, over the last actually two seasons, has had something of some K stuff, right? Right. He never got up over a K per nine.
Good peripherals.
His peripherals were fine. He was something of a prospect in their farm system. And then this year has come out and just been just very, very bad. How much do we want to weight his season performance now? Because he's coming really at bottom of the barrel prices. He's coming like less than 6,000 really on both sites, which is essentially you're playing a punt play. And yet he has a 10x FIP. He's striking out three guys per nine. He hasn't made it more than six innings in two total starts. Where do you stand on Feria?
Yeah, so Feria, I mean, he's kind of the inverse of Cole to me. But I think there's something to be worried about here for sure. Eight walks in 5 2/3 innings is really bad. And just two strikeouts over that time is really bad. And there could be something fundamentally broken with him. The one thing I will say here is that these two starts were both against Boston, and that's a very, very hard matchup just in general, but in particular for a young pitcher going up against such a patient team. They can really just snowball on you and really get things out of control. So I'm not ready to close the door on Feria yet. It should be a much better spot here tonight for a couple different reasons. I mean, not the least of which is the fact that going up against Philly is just in no way similar to going up against Boston. But also he'll be pitching in Tampa, which is actually an underrated pitcher's park. So I think there's definitely something to like about Feria here. But if there were ever a time to react strongly to two games, the eight walks against two strikeouts in 5 2/3 innings to start the season, that is pretty damn troubling.
Yeah, when you see numbers like this, when you see him in one game, you actually start to think, is he hurt, right? Like, is like exactly. Sometimes this does mean, like, for a guy who has a lot of innings under his belt, not from the majors, but at least in the minors, like, this guy's been around, he's had excellent minor league numbers, and to see crazy outlier stuff like this does sometimes make me wonder if he's hurt, and then also the teams are pretty good at evaluating this, and if he's going to come out again, then I have to believe that he's... I have to believe that he's fine. And if you have to believe he's fine, then you kind of have to have a steady hand with his projection. It would make it a lot easier if he, at least on like on DraftKings, if he was like 7,500 or 7,000 or something like that, because then I think it wouldn't be a question. The fact that he is so cheap, he's 5,800. You'll never see guys with 8.5K per nine kind of stuff sitting in this range with a kind of a nice matchup in a good park. So I think that's going to be a very tough decision. I'm not feeling great about it right now. And I've also done a better job this season of just trusting sort of what our system says if I think all the other inputs are correct. Any other DK starting pitcher twos that you like relative to price that you maybe could pay? It seems like we're going to definitely just pay up for Cole, even at 12,000. I think it's totally fine. Sure. But after him, I mean, you get like Greinke and Maeda are pretty expensive. Even Clevinger at over 9,000. I mean, Vince Velasquez, any of these other guys kind of stand out to you as a guy that you could possibly roll in the cash games with?
Yeah, I mean, so the issue, like you talked about Greinke, I think Greinke is a guy that some people will look at. He's actually, there are things I like about Greinke and things I'm a little struggling a little bit with Greinke here. The first is that he actually has been a lot better than the ERA suggests. The guy has no walks this season. Like, he's been pitching pretty much fine. I mean, we've seen him run into issues with this in the past where, like, sometimes he's not walking anyone and just can give up a lot of runs. But against Colorado at home, not a great spot. 9 Ks, no walks, 1 earned run allowed. And then had a tougher start against St. Louis. And, you know, when it all comes out in the wash, that's a 5.06 ERA, and it has everyone kind of off it. So in that way, I think he's sort of running bad. You love getting him out of the home park into Los Angeles, a considerably better pitcher's park. But Los Angeles themselves is, again, kind of a troubling matchup. Their WOBA against righties has been very bad this season at 291, but they haven't been striking out at all. 17% is super, super low. I think it's the lowest. Yeah, it's the third lowest overall in the majors so far. So you can't really count on a lot of the strikeouts, which Greinke kind of relies upon. But you also shouldn't be giving up a lot of runs here either. So it seems to me like a high floor play. Compared against the price, though, that floor might go out the window. So, yeah, I like Greinke. I think he's probably the second safest option on the slate overall, but I still feel a little bit gun-shy in pulling the trigger. The other guy you mentioned was Velasquez, and, you know, he's not going to inspire feelings of great safety. You know, he had a very weird 2017 after being sort of electric in 2016, dealing with his own potential arm issues and that kind of thing, too. I actually like Velasquez quite a bit tonight going against the Rays, one of the most striking out his teams in that aforementioned great pitcher's park up against Feria once again. Like, I think you can definitely roll Velasquez out there. He's considerably less safe than Greinke. I think the floor is probably lower, but I think the ceiling is almost just as high and it's a lot cheaper. So I really wouldn't mind seeing him in cash games.
Yeah, no, if you look at Velasquez started off the season well, striking out more than 10 per nine. Only 8 2/3 innings, so I would like to couch that by saying the sample size hasn't been there. But like you said, he has pedigree, and he has shown he's shown major league strikeout numbers in the past at this level, like 9.4 with the Astros in 2015.
Yeah, super good.
2016 to almost 10.5, and then and he's always the xFIP has always run a little bit lower than the ERA, and even that's happening this season. The 5.2 ERA. It's really two runs lower with the 3.26 xFIP, and that's because he's getting BABIP to death, like a 4.33 BABIP. He's been much better this season. Well, yeah, he's actually the perfect combination in the short season of terrible BABIP and no strand rate, which is usually what comes along with it because, you know, guys dink and dunk hits in, and then guys come around to score. So 4.33 BABIP and a 50% strand rate, both those numbers are going to come the opposite direction. I like the matchup against Tampa Bay. I would just because of the early season returns, and I understand that he is more expensive than Feria, I'd probably feel more comfortable just paying $2,000 more for Velasquez, just because what we've seen from him so far, I think, just inspires a little more confidence. Anyone else I'm missing here? I mean, Tanner Roark has not a bad matchup against Colorado. Steven Matz against Milwaukee is a slight favorite. Any of these other guys? Yeah, can you sink your teeth into any single other guy?
It's not amazing.
There's a lot of bad names.
If you start blocking guys out of the lineup optimizer, you start to get some pretty strange guys popping up in the pitcher two slot. Actually, Matt's potentially a little bit underrated here. We've seen true potential out of him in the past. He's still very cheap on DraftKings. And just last game, in a pretty tough matchup against Washington, he went out there and struck out 8 guys in 5 innings. So I guess you have to be a little bit concerned as to how deep he can go into games. But with all the names you've listed so far on DraftKings for the pitcher two slot, you're going to be concerned about that regardless. So yeah, I think he's in the mix for me.
Yeah, buddy, and just to say nothing of your Mets have started off the season. You had to pencil them in for the World Series at this point. 10-1.
Don't you think I know that, Doug? Don't you think I know that?
10-1 to start the season. It doesn't feel like they're going to lose another game for the rest of the way out.
Moving that 160, that one loss is just going to stick with us for the whole season. Like, oh,
oh, we just hadn't dropped that one game back in April. Oh, all right. Before we move into some hitters for this late, and there are a bunch of teams that we can take a look at, because when you struggle to find pitching options, that usually means that there are a bunch of hitters in very good spots. Hit us up with a sponsor.
Sure. Let's talk about FantasyFactor.com. Fantasy Factor is a great place to go and play the salary cap game format that you're used to without all the sharks chewing up all the entries. If you play between like $5 and $100 per night, I think you'll find a lot of comfort there at FantasyFactor.com. They also have some really cool promos that they run from time to time. They're running their Home Run Derby contest for this year. I'm sure they'll run an All-Star Break promotion as well. And they also just run free rolls every Friday and Saturday for MLB. So if you want to get involved, that's a great way to get started too. So check them out, FantasyFactor.com.
All right, there are probably, before we get into hitters, I just want to mention there, at least for, it's going to be worth it to check out weather tonight, because there are a bunch of games that are coming in on our weather feed that having rain in the forecast, so just keep an eye on weather. It's way too early to tell what any of those are going to be, but weather has been a factor this early in the season, especially with some postponements, and it will come into play with some of the pitchers. Now, luckily, a lot of the pitchers we discussed before either are playing in kind of dome situations or are playing in places where the weather is not a factor, so I don't think from an arm standpoint, but make sure we'll talk about weather a lot over the course of the season, but make sure you're checking in on some weather reports today before you fill out a roster. Who are some stacks that we want to run out there with some of the pitchers that we mentioned today? A lot of guys in good spots, some wind blowing out in different places. Is there one or two teams that stands out to you as maybe has more cash game viability than some others?
Yeah, I mean, as always, it's going to be somewhat dependent on price here. But one team I think a lot of people are going to be looking at is the Red Sox. They are obviously just a really good team in general, but it really comes down to the matchup here. Chris Tillman now, after coming off a season with a 7.8 ERA, is posting an 8.7 ERA in just two starts so far this season. The 2.8 Ks per nine and the 7.7 walks per nine lead me to believe that he might not be out on the mound for very long. But while he is, it should be pretty good picking. So basically, you can play any of the Red Sox guys. I think the outfielders in particular are looking very attractive here. The only rub, I suppose, is that it's going to be difficult to both pay up at pitching and get all these guys in the lineup. So, obviously, you're going to have to do some picking and choosing here, but that should be a great place to start. And if you do have any of these higher upside, cheaper options at pitcher, like if you can, like for big tournaments in particular, if you feel like you can pay down for a Velasquez, if you think maybe Matz gets stretched out a little bit and you can go deeper on the Red Sox, it's really hard to believe that they just don't just curb stop this guy here.
Well, it's at some point, you have to say, like, at what point is there just not a better option than Chris Tillman, like, anywhere else in the farm system, right? Like,
right now, that's the situation. There's not a better option anywhere.
He's pitched 9 innings. He's struck out 3 guys.
So far.
It's not even like he's running bad in the ERA, because the XFIP is up over 7. Every single number for him looks terrible, and you're really not worried. The Red Sox do feature a pretty righty-heavy line. I take that back. I guess they're going to do bad attendee more.
It doesn't matter, dude. I mean, last season, Tillman allowed a 400 WOBA against right-handed hitters, too. He's just horrible. He's one of the worst ever.
Other teams that are in good spots. So the Red Sox have an implied run line up and over 6. That's the highest of the day. Not surprising at all. You did mention we are going to probably run into some pricing issues just because they are, guys like Betts are expensive. Even Ben Attendee is getting a little bit expensive. JD Martinez, all these guys, the prices have crept up as the offense has sort of been there since the beginning of the season. Any other teams, we can roll through a couple of these. I have a couple, but any other teams that maybe fall into the slightly cheaper into like the cheaper tier that we, especially if we're going to be rostering Cole and if Cole and Velasquez, then we're really going to need to find some savings.
Yeah, I would say the Pirates. They have Dylan Peters tonight. Dylan Peters is not going to be a name that rings a lot of bells for folks, but he's a lefty for the Marlins. Just similarly terrible to Tillman, frankly. Last season, he only pitched 31 innings in the majors, had a 7.7 Ks per nine, which is good, but a 5.5 walks per nine, which is just simply terrible. This season, he's following that up after two starts, which is 5 Ks per nine and 4.2 walks per nine. Again, being left-handed matters against the Pirates just because they, even in the absence of McCutcheon, do have guys that you can play for value against left-handed pitching, guys like Marte in particular, but really you can go up and down the lineup at a number of different positions and get, I don't know if it's the same upside just because Miami is such a bad hitter's park compared to Boston, but you can still get plenty of, especially like up the middle value. Jordy Mercer, you know, if he winds up starting, I think you can get plenty of value here against a bad lefty.
Yeah, we have him hitting second. I really hope he does. He's a matchup, kind of a matchup dependent guy, but if he hits higher in the lineup against a lefty than Mercer, he's only he's like something like 3,000 on DraftKings, a very good points per dollar play.
Yeah, I think he's a true talent 800 OPS guy against lefties, and you know, that's worth a ton out of the tool.
Yeah, for sure. One other matchup that our system's kind of keying in on is Kyle Freeland facing off against the Nats. The Nats are, they run righty, well, they run three righties on the top of the lineup, and then they slot in Harper, and you're not really taking a huge downgrade in expectation off his splits. I mean, he's better against righties, and he is very expensive. But guys like Turner and Rendon and Zimmerman and even all the way down to Kendrick in the four out of the first five all hit lefties very well. Kyle Freeland is just, he unfortunately has to pitch in Colorado. It's always a little bit hard to tell, so you sometimes have to take home road splits with these guys. But what I do like to key in on is his just career K rate has been low, and it's not even like that's spiking away from Colorado. It's always going to be harder to strike guys out in Colorado. I get that. He has struck out a few more guys this year. Nothing about his at any turn in any stop along the way for him in the minors to suggest that he is going to be near a strikeout per inning guy. So the 8.75 per nine over the first 11 innings is not something I'm reading too much into. And I just really like, I really like that Turner Rendon, and even throwing Harper in for a GBP because the lefty-lefty matchup thing will turn a lot of people off, especially on a big night like tonight. But Harper has shown that he can basically just punish anybody. And he's just looking for bad
pitchers, right?
Exactly. And like especially guys that can't blow anything by him, right? Like Kyle Freeland's not going to sneak a fastball by Bryce Harper in this situation, even in the worst split. So I don't mind Washington here. And there just are a lot of other teams that are just...
Well, I want to key in real quick before you move on to other teams on Ryan Zimmerman. You kind of mentioned him and then moved off it. I think he's just like one of these guys after 13 games, 43 plate appearances that people are going way overboard on the hate so far. He has a 111 batting average on balls in play so far this season. Super below, obviously, his career averages around 310. And he's just a really big-time lefty masher. And the fact that he has been so bad so far has his FanDuel price at 2,500. So if he's batting towards the middle of that lineup, and he ought to be against a left-handed pitcher, he might be one of the highest-owned players on the slate overall. So be sure not to get too up in your own head about a 13-game sample size to start the season.
Yeah, that guy's coming off a 930 OPS season last year, right?
Like, that's all I'm saying.
Way higher than I thought it was.
Yeah, he's just a good player, dude. He's like, and he's 1 year older, sure, but like, I don't know. I think you're nuts to walk away from him after just a 43 plate appearances.
It's funny about baseball too, because baseball, we always mention, is a game of inches just as much really as any sport. But this one is one of these ones where the inches matter so much because the swings are so wild in terms of scoring. So like Zimmerman the other night in the Scherzer game, I forget who they were playing, the Braves, he missed a home run. Like he hit a ball that basically was caught at the wall. It misses a home run by, I would say, a foot and a half, right? And so that ball scrapes over the wall, right. And I think we're all of a sudden the OPS is not in the bottom of the basement just because of how many plate appearances he's had. It's just these little things that happen over the course of a season. And if you just get caught up, like if you get caught up looking at how bad he's, or if you get caught up saying, I'm just going to wait till he does something. This is a quote we see a lot of times in our chat room or just like in comments is saying, I gotta wait till I see him do something till I want to roster him again. I'm like, well, that's just like the complete wrong approach to things like this. Like you can't wait.
Well, at that point, it will be too late.
It's too late.
They're too fast at correcting now. Like as soon as Zimmerman has one 3-for-4 game with a home run, he's going to be 3,400 again. So sure, wait and then pay too much. Like, or pay now and get the deep discount based on all the other weak hands that are out there. Buy low is the thing, right? Like it's not even that complicated. I don't know.
It doesn't seem complicated, and yet every year it just seems to be made complicated by, and I get it because baseball is such an emotional thing where you can live and die with these plate appearances. And it's just, it's really, if you're going to be the person that lives and dies with plate appearances, and just like baseball, DFS baseball just isn't for you. You listen to the podcast and maybe still sign up for the system and go for it. But if you are going to be the kind of person that just tilts off every time your guy grounds into a double play, or you've rostered a guy and he's gone over 8 because you rostered him 2 games in a row, and it's just going to be a thing where you simply can't handle the emotional part of that kind of thing happening in baseball, then baseball is going to be an enormous emotional slog for you, and probably actually just not good for your life in general. Anyway, dfsr.com/MLB will get you that free 3-day trial. Any other teams I'm missing here? I don't mind the Angels here against Jason Hamill. They have a pretty high run line. Their offense is clearly different this year. Adding Kinsler at the top of the lineup, even having Ohtani bat 8th in the lineup. You can make a case that he should not be batting 8th, but I'm wondering if they're just doing that to limit his exposure a little bit. Like, I'm not exactly sure why he's batting behind some of these other guys, but do you think that, like, some of the changes that the Angels made around Trout specifically, a guy that we wanted to roster a lot last season, just kind of boost their overall run line and maybe has them coming in something of a value because the offense has looked pretty good?
Yeah, I think the Angels are good. I think you've already said a lot of what I would say about the Angels and some of the changes they've made. But as always, I'm just keying in on the matchup. And I think Jason Hamill at this point in his career is just not a guy you should be scared of. I think he's not on the same level for me, like in terms of confidence, like Dylan Peters or Chris Tillman. But I think if you're thinking about basically pivoting for a big tournament, I think the Angels are a pretty solid option. For cash games, though, I think the prices being a little bit higher, the matchup being a little bit worse, I don't personally see them coming into a lot of my cash game lineups.
Yeah, probably not. Hamill does walk a lot of guys. This team has gotten a little bit more patient, although some of the righty bats, like Pools, at this point probably just shouldn't be hitting cleanup. As always, though, we'll be updating
as of 3 years ago. Yeah,
it's kind of a contract thing. I think they're just feeling like they can't hit a guy. they can't hit the highest paid player on the team 8th or just like bench him, but they really are just kind of stuck in between what else to do.
Yeah.
All right, dfsr.com/MLB. Our projections are always changing as lineups come in, as new information comes in. So the things you see right now will change over the course of the day, but we've been very encouraged by our early season MLB returns. Our users have been as well. So go and check that out and jump into the chat room and just say, you know, how's it been doing? Then people will give their honest opinion. And that honest opinion right now has been very, very positive. dfsr.com/MLB. We'll be back again next Tuesday talking more baseball. Buddy, enjoy your Friday night of baseball.
Later, dude.